In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. High and whining behind us, screaming in low gear, its furious impatience with slow decorum, a stripped-down Buick came passing the entire funeral procession in a single angry acceleration. It cut in front of the Cadillac, shifted, vomited at the tailpipes, and roared ahead. Mr. George compressed his lips and allowed his eyes a momentary diffusion, but he did not vary our funereal pace. He counted cars in the rearview mirror. He stroked the steering wheel with his left hand and then expelled his breath. "There was a day, Reverend," he said. "There was a day when folk respected the dead, when they rose up in pity with the mournful." Mr. George had a neat, close crop of iron-white hair, light-skinned, pressed, and proud. He glanced at me a fleeting second, then seemed to make a decision in my behalf. "I remember that day," he said, gazing forward, nodding. "Reverend, I remember when construction workers on 7th Avenue stopped their riveting as we drove down the street. They laid their tools aside. They stood in line on the lofty girders. They covered their hearts with their hats, and they dignified our grieving. Yes, I saluted them. They stood like soldiers in the sky." He lifted his chin, remembering. "It didn't matter what that day, the day that it was when the casket passed. All the days were Sunday for a funeral. And I'll tell you another thing, too. It didn't matter what color we were driving to the graveside. No, didn't matter what color the folk on the sidewalk sported, neither." They paused, respectful. "Death had one color in those days, sir. Bereavement had one color only." He breathed through his nose a moment. He had elevated his face until the line of his sight went down his cheeks. "Black," he said. So begins Walter Wongren's short story, Derelict, in which he learns that being a companion to suffering people isn't so thoroughly spelled out in a book on pastoral theology, the pastor's how-to book. Such will be your experience as well, I expect. And this gospel text offers you some compassion for your own weeping. And perhaps it also unfolds for you a compassion that dries the tears of the people of God weeping around you. This woman is truly wailing. She has lost the two people who gave her status in Israelite society, her husband and now her son. She is a widow with none to protect or defend her. Likely to be ignored in Israelite society, she could die bereft, alone. Would you have accelerated past that funeral procession? Recently, my daughter has taken to crying for apparently no reason. Yet she is saddened. She grieves the loss of her great-grandparents that she hardly knew. Nonetheless, she misses them. Do you stop by to dry the tears of those weeping around you? Have you heard the wails of your fellow students as parents and grandparents die? Do you feel your friends' tears dripping when they learn that their wife has cancer or their child leukemia? Can you see the lines of pain in your brothers' or sisters' faces when they lose their job? Or do you speed past in your life's Buick, too preoccupied to pour out compassion? Or perhaps you can't see the tears of those around you because your eyes are too clouded with your own tears. You failed to hear the wailing around you because the torrent of sorrow pouring over you, grades ebbing lower and lower, a family who seems like foreigners in your own house, parents in need of undivided attention, which you don't have to give, a loved child whom you as parents never get to hold alive in this life. Perhaps your grief overwhelms you. Perhaps your wailing resonates so loud and long in your own ears that other sounds of sorrow never break through. Jesus hears, and Jesus stops. His heart goes out to this heartbroken widow, and he has compassion on her. Then, appearing insensitive, he commands her to stop weeping. It's because he is pouring himself out from his gut for her. He has compassion on her and so offers himself to her. And when the Lord offers himself, that means sin and its effects come to an end, because what he pours out of him is his very life. So he says to the widow's son, "Young man, I say to you, be raised up. Woman, here is your son. Son, here is your mother. Grieve no more, for I have had compassion. Stop weeping." And an epiphany has occurred. The people confess that God has visited his people. In the words of Zechariah at the beginning of this gospel, he has come and redeemed his people. The greatest prophet has appeared in their midst. The prayer of Elijah was heard by God, and the son of the woman of Zarephath was raised. Jesus does not pray. He stops the funeral procession, touches the unclean casket, and by his very word brings the young man back to life. This is Yahweh's compassion flowing out over Israel. This is the same Lord who said in Deuteronomy that he would have compassion on Israel. The same Lord who promised in the Psalms that he would sustain the crying, the fatherless, and the widow. The same Lord who said in Ezekiel that he would tend his sheep by binding up the injured and strengthening the brokenhearted. Here is the Shepherd of Israel, the Son of the Most High, the Son of God who pours himself out for you. The Lord does stop to dry your tears. He stops at the funeral procession of your life and says, "Arise," because he did not allow his own funeral procession to Jerusalem to stop. He poured himself out in compassion on Jerusalem and on Israel and on you. He shed his compassion in his very blood. In his blood, his heart goes out to you. Stop crying. So he invites you to his very banquet table, where your tears, as they drip into his chalice, are swallowed up in his compassion, his very blood shed for you. So you can see past your own tears to the tears of others. Your tears having been drowned in the flow of his compassion, you can dry the tears of others. That is especially true of those called to be the great shepherds under shepherds. You are to stand with the widows, with those who weep and mourn, with those who bewail their loss. You are there to point them behind their tears, to pour out Christ's compassion upon them, to hold his chalice under their mouth, to catch their tears in the blood of his mercy. In the words of Mr. George, that is what it means to rise up in pity with the mournful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.